The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. What if your financial goals and your deepest convictions were perfectly in sync, perfectly aligned? Well, welcome to episode
99.
Mm-hmm. 99. Welcome to episode 99 of Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth planning and wealth management from a perspective of biblical wisdom and principles.
And I'm Eric Terrio. You know, we're surrounded by so-called financial advice every day, but how much of it actually helps you become who God wants you to be? Today, we're bridging the gap between your bank account and your heart's calling.
Yeah. And every week, we dig around and we find a few financial headlines that we think are relevant and that we can break down with clarity and focus.
Good news and bad.
Good news and bad, although it's usually bad. It's usually bad news. But that's just the beginning. Each week, we also want to see if we can stump you with our weekly trivia. And then we'll spend the rest of the time diving deep into principles and practical strategies that help you manage your wealth with a clear conscience and a kingdom focus.
But first, James, let's look at what's happening in the markets and the world around us in our week in review. Where would you like to start?
Where to start?
Let's throw a dart.
Yeah, let's throw
see
a dart.
See where it lands.
There's so much going on in the world. Well, there's this chart that I follow that it's not really a headline, but it's a chart that is titled the Fed Balance Sheet.
Okay.
And
which is, in simple terms?
In simple terms, the Federal Reserve, after bonds, like treasury bonds, are issued into the market. You know, when there's a treasury bond issued.
So there's the Treasury, and then there's
the
Federal Reserve.
U.S. Treasury.
Treasury issues them.
Right, which is like, and they issue debt, and that means, I mean, in order to have $40 trillion of debt.
Almost. Right?
Well, more. Is it?
No, oh, it's still 39.
I guess it is still
40 by June, we talked about.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be really. Anyway, so in order to have debt like that, somebody has to issue an IOU.
Right.
Right? So let's pretend that I'm the Treasury and I issue an IOU, and I issue the IOU, and Joe over here, Joe, you're a bank, okay? And you buy my IOU. Well, you don't have any cash anymore, right? Because you loaned it to me as a Treasury. And that means that the next time Eric shows up at the bank to borrow some money, you don't have any.
There's none there.
Right? Yep. Well, how in the world does that work? The answer is it doesn't. So along comes the Federal Reserve and says, Joe, you know what? We're going to buy that from you.
Okay.
And then you can have cash. So the question is, where did the Federal Reserve come up with the cash? And that's where it gets interesting. They just invented it out of thin air. And that's why we call it inflation, right? Because they're inflating the system by going and buying treasuries out of the market with money that really didn't exist before.
So they're taking the hands out of the holders of those treasuries.
That's right.
And pumping money into the market.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So
more money in the supply chain.
That's right. So when the Fed has a balance sheet, then the Fed is now holding those treasuries that originally Joe's bank was holding as an investor. So when the Fed increases its balance sheet, they are effectively increasing the amount of money that people have to spend. And the more money people have to spend, more businesses have money to spend, the more the government has money to spend. If you're spending more than you're making, and you're spending more than there's any capacity, stuff out there to buy, then the price of everything goes up.
Called inflation.
It's called inflation.
Too many dollars chasing too few goods.
That's right. So for a number of years, the Fed was tightening, which means they were just letting those bonds roll off.
They were selling them.
That's right.
Taking money out of the supply chain.
That's right. Taking money out. And things were getting tighter and tighter and tighter in the economy. And in December last year, Jerome Powell, the Fed chair, did a he did a press conference in which he said, well, we're done at this point. We're finished tightening. And since then, the Fed balance sheet has been increasing, and inflation is starting to really show up again. We'll talk more about that here. But so that's not really a headline, but it is a statistic that we track. And when the Fed expands its balance sheet like that, it's inflationary in nature.
And we're going to see that in the cost of the goods.
And we'll see it in cost of goods. Mm-hmm. That's right. So speaking of cost of goods.
Speaking of which,
we've talked about this before, too. In our country, we are heavily dependent on imports.
Yes.
Right? We talked about trade deficits. That means we buy more stuff from everybody else than they buy from us. Mm-hmm. So, if import prices rise, then that means that eventually you are going to pay more for the stuff.
Because imports are nothing but things that people buy. Ships and lands in the stores. And also, like, there's intermediate, like, you know, goods, too, that go into final goods.
That's right.
So it all is going to trickle down one way or another.
It all trickles down. That's right. So the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, right, www.bls.gov, if you want to go look it up yourself, Bureau of Labor Statistics reports on this kind of thing every month. So in March of 2026, U.S. import prices rose 0.8%.
In 1 month.
In 1 month.
Almost a whole percent.
Almost, yeah. In 1 month.
And in 0.9 in February.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, see, that's on the heels of 0.9 in February. That is a massive increase in costs.
That's like 11% a
year. That's right. Now, I know it's hard to
pick. And how do you think that's not going to trickle down?
Well, how's it going to get? It will. It's just a question of where does it show up, right?
That's right.
But the reason this is important is because, remember, import prices are step one. Mm-hmm. And then somebody buys that. Maybe these are like cocoa beans that come in from overseas.
Right.
And then somebody buys those cocoa beans and turns them into chocolate. And then they turn around and sell that chocolate. Maybe they sell it to like Hershey Foods, right? And then all of a sudden, bam, right? Peanut butter cups cost a lot more.
It could have a long journey, or it could just be a finished car. Coming off a ship, going to a dealership, and right to the customer.
It could be that.
Either way, the price is going to show up.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, when import prices rise consistently over time, eventually that turns into higher prices for everybody.
There's no way it doesn't.
That's right. We just there's enough moving parts that I can't tell you exactly where it's going to show up, but it will at some point show up.
And so, speaking of inflation, we have the CPI chart here.
Oh, dear.
Yep. If you flip over, we're not at our 2% desired target. That's for sure.
Yeah. Do you ever wonder why 2%?
No.
I mean, there's a whole story behind that. We should dig that up and talk about that sometime here on the Money in Mission show. But
is it real?
I'm sorry?
Is it real, like legit?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's right. But for the 12 months ending March of 2026, inflation, the CPI, which we've talked about the fact that, you know, the CPI, whatever, it's a debatable thing, right? But CPI, however debatable or not, was up 3.3% year over year for the 12 months ending March 2020. That is nowhere close to 2. And the Fed is now expanding its balance sheet again. So,
and it doesn't sound that much different than 2, 3, 3, 2. But when you think about the compounding effect over 10, 20 years.
That's incredible.
Right.
That's right. That's incredible. So the important thing there is that you really want to make sure that your investment portfolio is structured in a way that helps you to navigate an inflationary environment.
Absolutely.
And
because what investments might have worked 10 years ago,
that's
certainly
right.
is not going to be what's working going forward.
That's right. That's right. It is a different world today. Now, some of the same principles still apply, right? But the types of investments that do really well in a low inflationary environment are not the same types of investments that perform well in a higher inflationary environment.
All right.
So, on that note, that wasn't really a headline. That was more of a
just top of mind.
Hey, it's going on out there in the market, and you should be aware of it. Again, make sure that when you do your portfolio reviews with your financial advisor, that you are having this conversation. And, you know, I honestly, I know some financial advisors just are like, oh, inflation is going to come back down. It's going to, you know, look, just it
won't. And even if it does come back down a bit, I mean, the price is still baked into what we're paying today.
Price is
and
still,
that hurts.
That's right. It's still baked
folks
in.
Folks are definitely feeling it.
That's right. So be prepared. Be prepared.
And also what they're feeling, we've got about a minute left, they're feeling the gas prices, right?
That's right.
Not only the recent, you know, operation, war, whatever you want to call it, we had in Iran,
right.
Now the blockade.
That's right.
But, you know, the price of gas is going up. And I see you have some stats here about the rig count. We've talked about this before. What is that?
The rig count. Well, you know, gas comes from oil.
That's right.
I mean, at the... That's a statement of the obvious, right?
I mean, no more gas, explanation needed.
It has to come from oil. But in order to get gas out of oil, the oil needs to be refined. And it goes through this process of taking it from black sludge that's just sort of gooped out of the ground and turned into something that actually is usable.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, it goes to a place that is called a refinery. And but to get it out of the ground... what's used is a rig.
An oil rig.
An oil rig. Mm-hmm. That's right. So, you know, if you have more and more oil rigs digging more of this glop out of the ground, then it makes more supply. And when there's more supply, then prices stay down.
So there might be more pieces to the puzzle than just kind of what's going on overseas.
That's right.
And maybe we'll unpack that in
that's
one
right.
of our next shows.
Yeah. So here in the United States, the Baker Hughes rig count talks about how many rigs we have, and we are actually down 38 rigs from the same time last year.
Ah, well, that might be a good reason.
That might be a good reason. That's right. All right. More on that later. Right?
Yeah. Well, we're about out of time in this segment. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, AM 720, WHYF, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical principles and wisdom. You know, if there's only one thing that you take away from today's show, we really want it to be that you are much more likely to succeed when you write things down.
That's right.
And when it comes to things that are as important as your investments and your wealth management and fulfilling your life's mission, the stuff that you really feel God has put in your heart to do with your life, you really want to take every step possible to succeed. So last week, you mentioned, Eric, last week we talked about the importance of defining success. Mm-hmm. And if you weren't able to listen to that last show, you can go to, Joe, is it the resources section on Holy Family Radio? On the website, there's a resources section, and you can see the podcasts.
Unless he changed it, I believe there's a section there with a little drop-down menu.
That's right.
If it says podcast or whatever, you can drop down and get it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
I think
right.
it's under the resources of memory serves.
That's right. So if you weren't...
And even on the main tab, there's a blue button on the right.
Mm-hmm.
It says listen to podcasts.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. So if you weren't able to tune in last week, you can find the podcast from last week there on the Holy Family Radio website. And we are in the middle of creating a section on the Wealth Development Council website for podcasts as well.
And we'll have that up and running soon.
We'll have that up and running soon. So you can visit www.wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com to listen to some of the previous podcasts like that.
And you mentioned that the importance of putting your plans in writing. So, James, why is that so important for folks?
So research has shown that people who set their goals in writing and their plans are 42% more likely to actually achieve those things than people who have not put their plans in writing.
Oh, that's a good percentage.
Yeah, but still, surveys of the general population show that only 83% usually of people who respond, well, 83% of people who respond don't even have goals. They've never even defined what success means.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's tough to do that. It's a soul-searching project. 14% of people who responded to some of these surveys had plans, some ideas of what they wanted to do, but they had not put those plans in writing. Only 3% of people out there have actually taken the time to write down their plans.
Wow, that's a staggering statistic.
That's right. And when people are more likely to succeed when they've written things down, that means the largest percentage of people are really, they've got a lot stacked against them because they've never written anything down.
Yeah, that's true. But there are various ways that you can incorporate writing into your lives, right? There's journaling, mm-hmm. you can make goal lists, vision boards. We got digital apps on our phones now to take notes. There really is no one-size-fits-all approach.
That's right. But, you know, we'll be talking today about how people can write things down and some formats that can be used. But really, we noted this last week. We said that without defining success and without writing it down, it's a lot like trying to hit a dartboard in a room where the lights are turned out, right? Like just tossing darts. And the, that's right, the likelihood of actually getting where you're trying to go with the lights turned out is practically nil.
And, you know, the survey you referenced, that's about people asking them about their goals.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so important for things to be in writing. And revisiting written goals and plans can be a source of motivation and inspiration. Everyone knows Ellen DeGeneres, right? In her early days as a comedian, she famously wrote down a vision for an ideal talk show. All the details included about the set, the audience, and even the types of guests she wanted to have. And then years later, when she launched The Ellen DeGeneres Show, many of those details came to fruition. And Ellen has shared the story in interviews and even on her show, emphasizing the importance of having a clear vision and putting it down into writing.
Yeah, that's right. In his book, Success is Not an Accident, author Tommy Newberry proposes that true success is maximum service to God. But he notes really that success is all about prayerfully developed set of goals that are written, put in writing so that there's accountability and you can actually see where you're trying to head. Tommy Newberry, in his book, Success is Not an Accident, notes that God really wants you to be fully, in every respect, the person that he created you to be.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just striving for life where you're trying to follow the rules or, you know, have good living, the book, Success is Not an Accident, challenges you, if you're reading it, to an abundant life of success, to be all that God wants you to be in service to him and in service to others. So he says, success is the deliberate, measurable pursuit of prayerfully chosen and written goals. But this requires you to grow and develop, right? When you don't write things down, you lose an opportunity to deeply consider the plans that you've made.
That's true. And I think you're less connected to them as well.
Mm-hmm. And with life being so busy, it's just easy to forget what you intended to do last week or last month.
Yeah, our brains are amazing, but they're not designed to keep track of everything. I mean, we have a limited amount of bandwidth going on inside of our heads that when we do try to remember every detail, every task, every goal, it's like trying to drink from a fire hose. It's exhausting and unsustainable.
That's right. you know, it's not just about forgetting appointments either,
that's right?
Or grocery lists,
uh-huh.
right? Which I think we'll talk about a bit later, right? we lose sight of our bigger dreams and aspirations.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like exciting ideas for a new business, that bucket list trip you've always wanted to take, or even just spending more quality time with loved ones, which can get buried under the weight of everyday life.
That's right. Yeah, sometimes we talk to people and you know, they say how confusing it can be to write things down or how much hard work it is. But just think about some of the major, major projects that we all know. We see these every single day and realizing that they simply wouldn't have happened without a written plan.
What about the forever project of 83?
Forever. I like that, the forever project.
The project in purgatory.
That's right. Yeah. I was just going to say interstate highways, but let's get specific, right?
Uh-huh.
The 83 corridor. That's right. Or 81, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's starting to be that way. I remember when I moved to central Pennsylvania about 30 years ago, and Interstate 83, where it, you know, comes up from York, and it comes up where it goes west to 581, and if you go east, it's the South Bridge. That was just this tiny little exit, and I will never forget. I mean, traffic just got busier and busier and busier. Somebody needed to go back and revisit those plans.
Right.
Right.
It was no longer sustainable for the current circumstances.
That's right.
It might have worked for its day.
That's right. So whoever wrote those plans out had a good plan at the time. It just needed to be updated and revisited as things kept evolving.
But you know what? When I moved to Harrisburg in July of 1964, 83 North stopped at Route 22 there at Colonial Road.
Mm.
There was no 81.
Yeah.
And 83 didn't connect to it. There's been a lot of changes, and it's going to continue to be. Look what's going on now between 19th Street and the concrete jungle.
That's right.
I'll never drive on that new road.
That's no. right. But nobody would be able to really evaluate that if there wasn't already a written plan, right? Other things, like if you ever take the Chicago architecture tour, that's a boat ride in downtown Chicago. See all those buildings out there? Every single one of those buildings has a written plan, right? There's no possible way they would build some of those amazing structures unless they had a written plan. So, and other things, extended vacations, you know, whatever. You need to have a written plan. So if we are serious about this idea of being effective stewards and being all that God wants us to be, we have to be at a spot where we're writing things down.
Yeah. No, that's so true.
Yeah.
It's time for PA Trivia. PA Trivia.
It's time for my favorite part of the show. Weekly trivia.
Yeah, Pennsylvania trivia.
Pennsylvania trivia. That's
maybe we
right.
should branch out. I don't know. Just, yeah.
Well, we've got like 50 of these Pennsylvania trivias, right? And then we'll move to some other state in the union. Well, for one season.
Well, no, we got to do last week's.
Oh, got to do last week. Okay.
Yes. All right. So the puzzle from last week, I apologize. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do have these flipped around. In 1940, the Bantam Car Company in Butler, Pennsylvania, developed a rugged four-wheel drive prototype for the U.S. Army, which is still a household name today, that was born here in Pennsylvania. What is that vehicle called? And the answer is the Jeep.
The Jeep.
Yep.
Jeep.
Jeep. The Jeepeta. So how about this week's?
Jeep. What a name.
So how about this week?
How about that? Yeah, okay. So this week, for one season in 1943, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers merged into a single team due to player shortages during World War II. What was the team's unofficial nickname? Mm. Right? Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers merged. Unbelievable.
I didn't know.
Right?
That.
Into a single team. What was the team's unofficial nickname? If you think you know the answers, send your answers to Wealth or to Radio Puzzle at WealthDevelopmentCouncil.com, and we will read the answer on the show next week.
We got to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio.
Holy Family Radio is excited to announce our new Parish Partner Program. Our goal is to turn listeners into ambassadors that will help us better connect our parishes and create even more local Catholic content. You will be a voice for your parish among our listeners, with opportunities to promote activities and keep members of our Catholic community informed and involved. By combining our evangelization efforts, we can all reach more hearts and ears and become stronger together. If you're interested in becoming one of our parish partners or know someone who might be interested, please contact us at 720WHYF.com or call us at 717-525-8110. That's 717-525-8110. Thank you for your ongoing support of Holy Family Radio and helping us share Catholic content that inspires and shares Christ's love with the world.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And today we're talking about the importance, the incredible importance of putting plans in writing. We said that research shows that you are 42% more likely to achieve the things that you put in writing, the goals and success that you have written down. You're 42% more likely to achieve that if those things are in writing.
That's right. And I saw it often while I was in the military, where combat operations, they involve complex maneuvers, multiple teams, and precise timing. A written plan ensures everyone understands their role, the objectives, and the sequence of events, which helps eliminate confusion, minimizes miscommunication, and maximizes coordination. And even after the operation, a written plan becomes a valuable tool for debriefing and review. It helps identify what worked well, what didn't, and where improvements can be made. This continuous learning process is crucial for enhancing future performance.
Yeah. And you mentioned the military. Sometimes, you know, with all the, every operation has all those moving parts. Sometimes life feels that way.
It sure does.
Just, yeah, that's right. So
there's less consequences.
That's right, less consequences. Different ones, to be sure, but still, you know, consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, there are probably, I don't know, if we listed every possible way we could think of to put your plans in writing, we could probably just sit here the rest of the day coming up with all the different ways that you could put plans in writing. But today, at least for the time that we have here, we want to focus on four ways that you can put plans in writing. Unfortunately, none of the four is a shopping list for the grocery store, right?
Right. Which is a good idea, too, but that's we're not going to focus on
that. A good idea. Want to have a shopping list for the grocery store?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I go to the store, they're like, hey, did you find everything you needed today? And I think, oh, no, I forgot what I needed, and I got a cart full of stuff.
A cart full of stuff that I didn't need.
I wasn't staying on track.
And, you know, it's like I think I gained 10 pounds today at the grocery store, which was not the original game plan.
Yeah, powdered donuts and all that was not on my list when I walked in.
That's right. And you know, when did you that's like a short-term forgetful. We said a couple minutes ago that if you don't write things down, you forget where it was that you were headed, and it happens to us so easily in the grocery store.
That's right.
That's exactly right. So, but imagine, you know, when something, if something like that happens in your investment plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it, just like you go to the grocery store and you don't have a plan, so you wind up just filling your cart with whatever happens to look good. What if you do that with your investment planning?
Right.
You have some idea, but you don't write it down, you don't know where you're headed, and then all of a sudden you find something that looks good over here, and so you put some of that in your portfolio, and then you find something else that sounds good, and put a little bit of that in your portfolio and something else and something else. And pretty soon you have this conglomeration of stuff, different investment vehicles, and they're not all working together. They don't work together really well. You know, maybe there's tax impacts that you didn't think about, and you've just got all this stuff, right? And there it is. But this is like your financial independence at play, or your mission, whatever you feel is really your mission in life. That's the impact, and suddenly you've just got all this stuff, and it's not really working together. So
yeah, and like the effect, the exponential effect of like the amount of time that goes by when you're off track like that can be serious.
Can be.
I mean, just that one time shopping, that was just one receipt. But think about that with respect to your investment policy statement for years.
Yeah. And there you mentioned it, an investment policy statement, which is really one way that you can write things down.
Yes.
Right. And an investment policy statement is, so what is an investment policy statement? Well, it's a written plan for your investments.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a grocery shopping list. You have to know what you want first before you go to the store. And you have to write it down so that when you get there, you can look for what you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
which sounds redundant, but it isn't. So it does, again, it can sound complicated, but the most successful endowments, portfolio managers, mutual funds, all have investment policy statements.
Mm-hmm.
And an investment policy for your investments accomplishes several really, really important things. One is it sets clear expectations. So that really is something that defines what you as an investor are trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you don't know where you're headed, any road will get you there.
That's true.
So having clear expectations. So what does clear expectations, what does that sound like? Well, it might sound like, hey, I'm trying to get income from my investments so that I can be charitable, or I need income from my investments to supplement Social Security, and so on and so forth. That is an example of a specific expectation and a specific objective.
And it sounds like an investment policy statement might be something only for Wall Street, but it's really just a fancy way of saying written plan for your investments.
That's right.
Think of it like a roadmap for your money.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It does need to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be specific things. Last week, we talked about the acronym SMART, and the S in SMART stands for specific. So an investment policy forces you to get specific about what you're trying to accomplish.
That's correct. And it's like having a conversation with yourself about your financial goals and how you want to reach them.
That's right.
And I like that you said it forces you to get specific.
Mm-hmm.
Like what are you investing for? Retirement, your child's education, a dream vacation? It forces you.
That's right. And actually, you know, we didn't write this down, but it just occurred to me that when we get specific, we're actually kind of functioning in the image of God.
Hmm.
Okay. And I think about, you know, the creation story. If you read the first chapter, the first couple of chapters of Genesis, you know, it says, and God created this. And it's really, really specific. It's not like God was sitting there saying, well, I think I just want to have this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, no, he created fish. He created this. He separated out the land from the water and so on and so forth. It's really, really specific. And so I think as people, it's important to be really specific as well. Now, if you're working with a financial advisor or portfolio manager, then the clear expectations that you establish in your investment policy are a form of documentable communication that help to confirm that both you and the advisor that you're working with are on the same page.
That's right.
That you have the same understanding of your plans.
Mm-hmm.
So clear expectations are established in an investment policy. Different kinds of investments that you will use in your portfolio are laid out in an investment policy. And again, that's kind of like saying, hey, I'm going to the grocery store and I want to pick up some flour and I want to pick up some sugar and some butter and not just bags of chips, right?
Instead of investments in a portfolio, they're products in my shopping cart.
That's right.
Intentional about it.
Be intentional. That's right. So, you know, ask yourself, am I just planning to use mutual funds in my portfolio, or am I planning to use individual stocks and bonds as well? Or, am I planning to just use stocks and bonds, or do I want to include other kinds of investments like precious metals and real estate and commodities as well? So it's, again, it's important to be specific when writing out that investment policy. And of course, then and the investment philosophy should be laid out as well. And that's really just a question of, will my portfolio be kind of passive in what's called asset allocation, or will some other more active philosophy be integrated into the investment strategy, and certainly understand what it is you've written down.
And all that should be spelled out.
All this should be spelled out. That's right. I mean, it's not like you have to be able to teach a class on it, but, you know, if you're trying to bake a shoe fly pie, then, you know, you're not going to go to the grocery store and buy a carload of bacon, because that doesn't work in a shoe fly pie. At least not the last time I checked, right? But investment policies can either be really complicated, or they can actually be pretty straightforward and just line out a couple of headings like that. But remember to be specific about what you're trying to accomplish, specific about what kinds of investments that you'll use, and very specific in how you will measure success in that portfolio. And that becomes so important, again, when you're looking back as life changes around you and being able to assess that later.
Very good. What would you say another way of writing down a plan is? You said there was a few of them that we'll discuss.
Yeah, so that was really all about an investment plan, but a broadband, just a financial plan in general, that would encompass more than just your investment plan. So,
and like we said, circumstances change, so written plans are not set in stone. They should be regularly reviewed and updated.
That's right. They should be. And if you don't write it down, there's no way you can review it. There's no way you can assess it, right? Oh my goodness, we are running out of time in this segment. But a financial plan really has several basic parts. One, setting goals, which we've said over and over again is so important. Understanding risk, like what is the risk of this not happening, or, you know, if the worst thing happens, how's that going to impact me? What is the risk? And am I willing to take those risks? Understanding cash flow. How is the money that comes into my possession, how is that being distributed? It's the B word that we all love to hate.
What's that?
Budgeting.
Ooh.
That's right.
Ooh, say it again.
Budgeting, that's right. Yeah,
but
understanding cash flow is just critical, right? You have to know where your money is going. It encompasses an investment strategy. It encompasses how you want to distribute things later in terms of estate planning. And then it's going to also talk about implementing those decisions and monitoring the result. So, as you said, written plans are not set in stone, but if you don't write things down, then any road is going to take you where you're going, and you may not be happy with exactly where you end up.
Right. And a financial plan isn't just about numbers and spreadsheets. It's about your hopes, your dreams, and your values.
That's right.
Writing down your financial goals can create an emotional connection that motivates you to stay disciplined and make smart choices.
That's exactly right.
Well, we're all out of time in this segment. We'll be back, and we will continue the discussion on important plans to be written down. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we are co-hosting today. And today we're just talking about the importance of writing things down.
That's right.
And the good things that can happen when you do. We talked about two important ways, well, three important ways of writing things down so far, right? We talked about an investment policy statement. We talked about a financial plan. And we talked about a shopping list for the grocery store. You really cannot forget the shopping list at the grocery store.
That's high-level financial documents right there.
That is high-level finance right there. But sometimes it's helpful to take more complex things like a financial plan or a business plan or an investment policy statement and just make it an analogy, saying, you know, I would never go to the grocery store without a shopping list. Unless you do. I mean, maybe you're one of those people that pulls it off successfully.
Yep.
But you would say, you know, I would never do that. So why in the world would I do something of so much more importance without having a list?
Sure.
Without having a written out plan, right? So an investment policy, a financial plan. If you are self-employed or you're running a business of any kind, a business plan is a third way of writing things down. And I should note, you know, we want to cover those other two ways of writing things down, and then we want to share some resources as well as just an observation that we think represents really good advice.
Right, and a business plan is like the blueprint for your company.
Mm-hmm.
It outlines the structure, the purpose, and the steps needed to bring your vision to life.
That's right. And your vision, that's embedded in your heart as to where you want to go.
And that's unique to you.
It is unique to you.
And with defining what success is for you.
That's right. So writing it down makes it really specific, makes it measurable, and often really makes it achievable.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so important that a good business plan is in writing.
Yeah, and a good business plan, as you say, it should include your company's mission and values, your target market, your marketing strategy, financial projections, and a clear plan for growth.
That's right.
It's a comprehensive document that covers all the aspects of your business.
That's right. I've heard people ask already, hey, if I've got this written down, is that a guarantee that I'm going to succeed?
Absolutely not.
No. Remember, you know, all investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. If you're in business, you're faced with risk every single day. Just because you write things down doesn't mean that things will always go the way you want them to.
Mm-hmm.
But having things written down, again, gives you a place to assess and measure and make adjustments, and you can see those things happening. If you don't have that in place, then those horrible things can happen and you'll never possibly even know until it's way too late. So having a business plan, having an investment policy does not guarantee that you'll be successful, but it does put your plans in writing.
That's right. And if you are a business and if you're seeking funding, a well-crafted business plan is essential. It demonstrates to potential investors that you've done your homework and that you have a solid plan for success.
That's right.
And even if you're not seeking funding, a business plan is a valuable tool for keeping your business focused and accountable. It's a reminder of your original vision and a guide for making strategic decisions.
That's right. And, you know, along with the fourth way of writing things down, when you put these kinds of plans in writing, it also gives you something really specific that when you are in prayer about what God is calling you to in life and the steps He wants you to take next, you've got something that you can get in front of God with and say, Lord, is this where you want me to go? Right? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, and just pray and ask God to, you know, kind of breathe on your business plan, on your investment policy, and so on and so forth. Well, if you know,
right, that was like the Tommy Newberry book, right?
That is exactly right.
Yeah, prayerfully chosen.
Prayerfully chosen. That's exactly right. If you don't feel inclined to write out an entire financial plan or an investment policy statement, at a very minimum, you can take each account that you have, you can take each, let's say, insurance policy, every asset you have, just make a list, and next to each one, just say, what is the purpose of this account? What is the purpose of this policy? What is the purpose of this property? What is the purpose of this business, right? And just make a specific note about why it's there. And again, that may not rise to the level of a, quote, full financial plan, but it will give you a way of tracking what you had in mind, and you'll be able to measure whether or not that account, that policy, that property, that business, et cetera, is actually doing what you had hoped it would do in the first place.
So what if someone is trying to put together a well-crafted business plan? What type of help is there out there for folks? What type of resources can they seek out?
Yeah, so there are clearly free resources. You know, people can hire advisors to work with them, financial advisors, wealth managers, CPAs, attorneys. These are all examples of professionals who help people to construct those kinds of plans. One thing we would note is that as you seek out resources or advisors to work with, or both, make a point of confirming that those resources and advisors are also in alignment with your vision and values and your definition of success.
That's right.
Right.
I mean, we're telling folks every week, align your values with your money.
That's
align
right.
Align your investments with your money, whatever those values may be. So it's also important to align those that you partner with are in line with your values as well.
That's exactly right. It's so easy. Sometimes, you know, well-meaning and very competent advisors could give you advice that just doesn't quite get you where you're trying to go because the values alignment isn't there. I think of a client that we worked with a number of years ago who I guess her husband had passed away, and she was very, very charitable, right? She wanted to be doing a lot of giving, but to date they had literally all of their money in interest-bearing accounts, and there just wasn't very much interest getting paid, and she wanted to be charitable. She wanted to do a lot of giving. And her kids really said to her, hey, wow, if you keep giving money away, you're going to run out of money.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks that she was working with do her taxes at the time, they had said to her, usually we don't see people doing a lot of charitable giving until they have much higher net worth. Well, they said that because for them, giving was all about reducing your taxes. And she just wasn't in that kind of a tax bracket. So, but in that particular case, in that story, she was able to reposition her portfolio with some different objectives in mind. And that enabled her to do some additional giving that she would not have been able to do otherwise. So, you know, again, that kind of a strategy involves some risk, and she took the risk of possibly losing money as well. But again, different types of assets needed to be in alignment with what her goals were and what her definition of what she was trying to achieve actually was all about.
Right.
So it's super important, again, to make sure that there's good alignment in the resources that you are using, in the advisors that you're working with. And if there needs to be a change, then make sure that that's on the shopping list so that you know why you're looking to make a change. And you can have that conversation with, you know, a different advisor that you're contacting or looking, evaluating a different resource. You do that in the context of what you have written down on the proverbial shopping list. So, yeah, so let's talk. I know you had done some homework, Eric, in looking at some online, you know, some resources that people can get just online.
We want to point people in the right direction, right? Finding good help, good resources, good advice from folks. So some of the places that we would point the direction for business plan would be the SBA, the Small Business Administration. Their website offers comprehensive guides, templates, and examples for writing business plans. They also have online courses and workshops on business planning as well.
Yeah, so there is really an example of a tool or a place you can go to get tools, and the tools are kind of fill-in-the-blank tools, right? So, which is really important. As the blanks are filled in, if you're filling them in, make sure that as you're filling them in, again, what you're putting there is a reflection of what your vision is and your definition of success.
And also there's SCORE, the nonprofit organization. What does that acronym stand for? Retired Entrepreneurs?
The Service Corps of Retired Executives.
Retired Executives.
That's right.
And they're super helpful. I've had a few meetings with them folks a number of years back. You know, they provide free mentoring and counseling from experienced professionals including assistance with business plan development. So that's a really good resource as well.
That's right. Reference back to what we were just saying about alignment,
mm-hmm.
right? And
you know, and they want to see a business plan.
And they want to
when
see
you go, when I went and talked to them, he said, next time you come in, let me see your business plan.
Let me see your business plan.
Because people are willing to open up and help, but they want to know that A, you're committed, mm-hmm. and B, that you're going to take action to the advice that they provide to you.
That's right. You know, taking action is absolutely critical. If you don't do something about the plans that you have written down, you will never get there.
That's true. That's very true. No matter how many times you write it down, or
that's exactly right. And this reality is just so important when you're talking about, again, where you're trying to go, but putting into place God's plan in your life. If you don't do something about it, it's never going to happen.
That's true.
That's right. So again, if there's just one thing you take away from today's show and today's conversation, it's that you are so much more likely to succeed if you write things down.
That's right.
And then do something about it.
Do something about it. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Mentors, advisors, experienced entrepreneurs, they're all here to help, but you must be intentional with your goals, write it down, and take action.
That's right. And some of the guests we'll be having in coming weeks will be examples of places where this very thing has happened and exciting stories that are occurring.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it for today's show. We want to thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.